For the name of Yahweh is an excellent name. And as we enter into the bed of our Abba, we come to worship, to praise you and to bless you. We do bow down before you to esteem your name mightily, to exalt you and to lift you up, Almighty Yahweh. We bless you for your love, your kindness toward a generation that has rejected your truths and denied the power of Yahshua HaMashiach. Generation that has gone and sought after those things that are pernicious. The ways are pernicious. Ways that are preordained, that rejects truth. A generation that has ostracized and cast down the truths of Almighty Yahweh. But as we gather here in this bayat, we bow before you to bless you, our precious Abba, to thank you, to praise you, to lift up your mighty name, for the precious witness and the hope of Yahshua HaMashiach the Lamb. We understand that there is no power of Torah restraint without the witness, the truth, and the testimony of Yahshua. For we have no power of deliverance without life. And Yahshua is the life of your profound government instructions, your counsel unto Yisrael. And so we do praise you and esteem you. We do lift you up and exalt you. We do magnify you for all things. We worship you. We cleave unto you, Yahweh. And we thank you for all things, for trials, for tribulations, for the afflictions that you may bring unto the midst of us, to cause us to trust you faithfully and to wait upon you. So we pray for the remnant of the seed scattered throughout this nation and the nations of the world. We pray your Ruach will fill this tabernacle tonight and cause us to delight in your Emets, your truth, Yahweh. And so help us all tonight, your manservant, as he speaks unto a people and a generation that has turn its ears away from you and has gone after the way of Balaam and sought after things that are sensually pleasing to their flesh and not after the truth of Almighty Yahweh. And so we ask that your word will be a burden auger in the heart of Yisrael, that they may hear and obey, that they may trust you in all things. We do pray for everyone that is listening tonight, wherever they're listening from, by the live stream of the internet. We pray that your anointing will enrich their homes tonight, and not only their homes, but their minds and their families as they listen together. Help them all, I pray. Bless us tonight here as we sing to your honor, as we worship you, as we thank you for this day. Quite warm, Abba. Yet as I look at the temperature in other places around the world, some are very extreme. They do not even have the comfort of a fan or a cool glass of water. So we will not murmur nor complain. We will bless you and thank you for all things, for you have sustained us this day and kept us through every trial. We ask all things in the mighty name, Yahshua, the Lamb of Israel. We bless you, we praise you, we esteem you, we exalt you, and we worship you, Yahshua's mighty name. And all these people cried, hallelujah, way. Hallelujah.
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 For thy name is excellent, and your truth is everlasting. We do bless you this night. We pray that you will enrich us all with the simplicity of your truth, and that you will open the ear of the hearer, that we may have the ability to hear what Yah speaks unto Israel. So we bless you this midweek, Scripture Truth. We do thank you for the blessings flow from you, Yahweh. Life, health, strength, and the ability to press on. So we bless you, and we yada Yahweh for all that he has done. We ask it all in the mighty name of Yahshua, the Lamb of Israel. And all of his people cry, hallelujah, way. Hallelujah, way. Look to your neighbor and say to them, Yahweh blesses you. And have a wonderful night. You may be seated. May Yahweh strengthen us all tonight as he opens up our understanding to his emet, his truth. There's one thing that truth does. It brings us in direct contact with Almighty Yahweh, because it makes us free from this obligation to this natural carnal man that is enmity against him. Yahweh spoke unto Israel, and he spoke to them because he had a controversy with them. And a controversy is something that is based upon a Torah, a law, whereby those that it has been given to, they have taken it for naught, they have distorted it, and they are not complying to what he has asked them to comply to. And so he says unto them, Israel, I have a problem with you, not only a problem, but a dispute. It is one thing that when Yahweh has a controversy with his people, the first thing they began to do is to question him. It is not that they will question their own love, their own integrity, but they began to question him, whether he is right, whether it is appropriate what he requests of us and require of us. I will say this, that the powers that be demands all, demands every fiber of strength, demands all of your ability. They demand everything. The powers that be do not require partial, but they require all. What will a man give in exchange for his entire being? When a man dies, what will he offer unto Yahweh in exchange for some kind of security for his being? There is nothing that we can offer him. Yahweh gives us a certainty in life. It is life and it is death. And it certainly will come regardless to who you are, how old you are, how young. Death is something that we all must confront. It is not as far away as we perceive, because we are closer today than we were before we came in this tabernacle. I want to read from Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 1. The command of Yahweh unto the house of Israel. He is not speaking unto the heathen mind. He is not trying to dictate or direct the heathen, because the mindset of the heathen will reject anything that is of substance, that which is of truth, and that which it cannot digest and understand. That is what a heathen or a foolish man will do. And so Yahweh speaks unto Israel, his people, his house. And the first thing he commands them is to hear, to shema, to perceive, to understand what I speak to you, to know that it is I that speak to you, to understand that I speak forthright, I speak plainly, and I want you to hear. Above all things, I want you to hear. So he says to Israel, hear the word of Yahweh. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of Yahweh, you children of Israel. For Yahweh has a controversy. There is a case against you. This according to Torah, according to my stipulations, my laws, my commands, so I have a problem with you. I have a problem with your attitude, your spirit, your mindset. I do have a problem with that. So he spoke unto Israel to warn them that he had a problem with them, a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because, first of all, there is no Torah at all. There is no government, no discipline. Your lives are based upon your own emotions. They are not based upon law or Torah. It is not based upon a government that instructs you in my disciplines, that you may walk in my truth and in my power. Now, this is a generation that the laws are based upon a man's own conscience. What is right, what he perceives in his own thoughts, that is what he does. Whatever he can perceive or think of, he has a law unto himself. And Yahweh says there's a controversy, because the inhabitants of the land, there is no truth at all. There is no Torah in the heart of the people, nor mercy, nor knowledge of Yahweh in the land. There is no data, no experience, no skillfulness of Yahweh at all in the land. They have no skill, they have no understanding how to use the word of Yahweh, how to apply it to their lives, because there is no truth in them. And when a man has no power of truth or Torah, he begins to ask questions. Well, tell me why. I want to understand the reason why that is so. I want to know why that thing is required. When a man has the knowledge of Yahweh, and knowledge only comes through experience, there is a process whereby the data of Yahweh is imparted into a man. And anyone that acquires a certain amount of knowledge or understanding of a specific thing, it is through experience. And the more that person experiences the thing, the more knowledge they acquire. And the more knowledge they acquire concerning that thing, then the more understanding that they have of the matter. This is a generation that understands not. This is a generation that has no pure ahava for Almighty Yahweh. And the reason why, because there is no truth. There is no Torah, because His Torah is the truth. Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting, and His Torah, His government, what He is literally saying is that His government is going to stand. Irregardless to what we think, our actions against Him, His Torah, His truth is everlasting. Even in the kingdom it shall be ruled, and the administration of the Torah shall be in the kingdom. So the controversy is that there is no truth. And the reason there is no truth, because there is no Torah. It is a generation of tyranny. It is a tyrant generation. Now I know you understand what a tyrant is. A generation of tyranny. A tyrant is one that establishes his or her own laws. one that is ungovernable, and one that take their own laws and apply them irregardless to the laws or the established government that is already in place. Now we have a government or a Torah in the heart of the true Israelites. And when we will say to Yahweh, I will not abide in that, I am a tyrant, and I will oppose your Torah to establish my own laws and my own government, and there will be no restraint at all under my government. That is what a tyrant does. He changes his laws according to situations and circumstances. Yahweh's Torah never change. It is the same. What he expects of us, it is the same. And so he tells us, I have a dispute with you. And the place I will take that dispute is to the Torah. And see whether you are applying the principles of Torah to your life, or you're walking in tyranny. You're going to oppose me. You're going to overthrow me, and you're going to establish your own rights, your rituals, and your own laws. This is a generation that has done that. This is a generation that has established laws that are corrupt. If we would judge our own life and see if there is a just judgment of correction and instruction that we apply to ourselves. And when a man does that, it brings us to the presence of Almighty Yahweh. It brings us before Him. It causes our mind and our conscience to surrender unto Almighty Yahweh. It is a generation of tyranny. It is a generation that Yahweh has a controversy with. He has a dispute. And He says to us, we will take it to the Torah. And we will go there and see if what you are doing is according to Torah, was according to your own laws and your own ignorance when it comes to my truth. I want to read something out of the Apocrypha because I think it's very profound. It says this in the Maccabees. Now we know who the Maccabees were. They were actually a group of radical Israelites, whereby they rebel against this insidious, vile nature government that opposed everything that was righteous. They desired to overthrow the things of Yahweh, this government, and yet there were those that had the will of Yahweh in their love and the purpose to please Almighty Yahweh. Antiochus, in his pagan ritual government, there were those that opposed Antiochus. And they rose up a mighty group of warriors that were excellent. They had the experience of Yahweh. And this is a statement that was prophesied out of that, of the mouth of the prophet. And he says that for religious knowledge, and that's what this nation is today. Every man has a religion unto himself for religious knowledge. And that religious knowledge is a form of worship. It is a godlike worship. It is a deity worship. And man today worships the creature. He is opposed to the Creator. Our minds are consumed with creature things and creature aspiration. It is not concerned with the things of Yah. He says, for the religious knowledge, O tyrant, is invincible. When a man has that kind of religious knowledge, he is invincible. You cannot. He is incapable of changing or turning. And so this religious mindset today, it is one that always opposes Yahweh. And it is always asking questions. Now, Yahweh from the beginning, He opened up a plethora of profound knowledge unto man. But because of the nature of man, his unwillingness to apply the principles of Yahweh to his heart, his own willingness to disobey him, that we have opened up the floodgates to every kind of vile, insidious, dark thing there is. Look at the mindset today. What controls your mind today? What kinds of thoughts that actually governs you, that actually has stronghold in you, and where is your mind constantly is? What is generated in your thoughts? Is it the desire to please Yah? Or we walk in a religious, inconvincible mindset? This is a religious world. This is a people that is filled with religiosity. And that is hypocrisy. That is what religiosity is. It is simply a form of hypocrisy. Religiosity. It is a hypocrisy. It is a falseness. It is a false state of being. And that is what this generation is. It is a generation of religiosity. It is a generation of hypocrisy. And it is evident because when one truly has the mind of HaMashiach, one does all to please Yahweh. One's thoughts, one's desire is to please Almighty Yahweh. Now that should be the mindset of a people that have been purchased by the dome, the blood of HaMashiach. That are of the true house of Israel. That they should desire to please Yahweh. But the mindset today is one that desires to please the creature. It is a worshiping of the creature more than the creator. The emphasis is on the creature more than the creator. The thought is given over unto the creature more than the creator. And yet at the end he shall stand. His truth shall stand. His identity shall stand, and we will lose if we don't obey him. And that is the truth, whether we receive that, acknowledge that. It is the truth because, oh man, oh woman, I will say this to you, it is appointed one thing, and death shall come. Whether you believe that or not, it shall happen. It shall come. And that is the truth. Scripture says in Ma'ash Silishiam, Acts chapter 17, verse 10. We must understand why we are always asking Yahweh the question, because it is a form. Do you understand what a question is? It is a form of interrogation to oppose the opinion or the thought of others to make sure that your opinion is most relevant. This is a very ignorant generation. It's a generation that doesn't possess the desire to understand the truths of Yahweh. It is a dumbed down generation, and the powers that be have dumbed us down so that our energies are not spent in those things that will give us the strength of life. And it comes by the disciplines and the experiences that we have with Yahweh. And the only way you want to find that is in His truth, in Torah. And the power of that truth and the strength is the witness and testimony of Yahshua, the hope of Israel. And without that you possess nothing. What will it profit a man today if he gains the whole world and he loses being? What do you possess? Tell me. One of the wealthiest men in the world, Mr. John Walton, he died. He had $34 billion. You will never, not any of you that are here, that are listening, will never ascertain that kind of wealth. It is not given unto you to obtain that. You're not going to obtain a $500,000 or $2 or $3 million because it's not given unto you to do that. As Shaltan said unto HaMashiach, it is given unto me. Whomever I desire to make rich, I will. There is only one condition. They must bow down and worship me. And today there is a mindset that draws men and women away
from the time of the truth of Yahweh to acquire a certain physical desire that has been implanted not by the instruction or the will of Almighty Yah, but by their own lustful, insidious desire. And so they labor for the flesh. They labor to satisfy flesh. It is not the will of Almighty Yahweh. And you will never obtain the excellence of Yahweh's truth until we submit all. But I want to read this because this is a generation that opposes Yahweh in everything. It asks questions. Why? Give me a reason. Yahweh says, I have a controversy. Because there is no truth or no knowledge of truth in the land today. When there is a knowledge of truth, there is an experience. Where are the men of ancient? Where are the daughters of Zion, the elderly ones, that say that they know Yahweh? Where is the experience or the skillfulness of the ability to combat the powers that be, to lay hands and pray, and to do it according to Scripture? Because we are a sedated generation. We are a drunken generation. And when a generation is drunken, it is one that staggers. So we stagger at the truth of Yah. We stagger at the disciplines of Yahweh. We resist them. We fight against them. Why? Because we do not possess the readiness of mind. Our minds are not ready. We are not ready to acknowledge Him. We are not ready to say that this is the will of Yahweh. We are not prepared to do that. Now we can deceive ourselves, and our own love is very good at doing that. It deceives you quite easily because your own love thinks very highly favorable of you. Now it doesn't esteem someone else more highly that it esteems you, but it esteems itself very highly because it considers itself more than it considers others. And so we are a people that we are amused with ourselves, and we are bemused by ourselves as well. And as Shaul and Silas began to utter the profoundness of truth, there were those in the midst that heard what they spoke. They heard the utterance of that truth. They knew that it was of Yahweh because the first thing that they did, they began to search. They began to look. We are a people, when there is something that is full of folly, we will try to find out who said it. How did you know that? Where did you hear that from? You've never done that, have you? We will seek out those things, will we not? But when it comes to the utterance of Yahweh, there is no energy at all for Him. There is no desire. Why? Because there's a controversy with His people. There is no truth in the land. There is no mercy. And there is no knowledge, no data. There is no experience at all with Yahweh in the land. It is a people that is full with religiosity, with hypocrisy and falsism. But it's not a people that possess that character and the experiences that it takes to overcome the very powers that be. It's going to take that in this hour. Whether we believe that or not, it's going to take it. Whether we receive it or not, it's going to take more than what we're offering unto Almighty Yahweh. It's going to take more than that. Does it require some of us? Does it require partial? Does it require 10%? Now I ask you to the question, what are you giving Him? What are you giving Him? What is your percentage? As evangelist one would ask often, what would you do now if He came today? If it was your hour, what would you do to do right? So how much are you giving Him? Are you giving Him 50%? Are you giving Him 60%? Have you reached that tilt of 85% that you perceive to be honorable? That's not what He requires. He requires all. He requires all. He demands all. And He commands all. That's why there must be a data, a knowledge of Yahweh in the land. It has to be. It has to be those that have some form of experience. And they are skillful in the word of Yahweh. They are skillful in the applications of Yahweh. They are skillful in the practices of Yahweh. That they may inform us what is necessary and what is important. I'll ask you the questions. Did he send the Nabis, the prophets? Did he send them to Israel? Were they skillful? Were they knowledgeable? Did they speak what Yahweh said? Did not Hoshea speak what he said? He has a controversy, not with the world, but with Israel. He tells Israel to hear. He tells Israel to shemak. He tells Israel to open up your conscience, your love to me, that you may hear. And as Shaul and Saulus began to speak, it says in the book of Acts 17, verse 10, it says, and the brethren immediately sent away Shaul and Silas by night to Berea. When they came there, they went into the tabernacle of the Yahudims. He says, now these men were more noble than those of Thessalonica, and that they received. You hear that? They receive, they acknowledge. They accepted without controversy what the word spoke to them. And they received the word of Yahweh with all readiness of mind. They were prepared. They had some experience in the light of Scripture. They had a knowledge of Scripture. So they received it with all readiness of mind. They were prepared. They acknowledged that it was of Yahweh, and then they began to search the kitveh of the scripture daily, whether those things were so. They had a mind, a readiness, a mindset to receive the Torah, the truth. Not only Torah, because they knew Torah. They wanted to understand the power of this life. And this resurrection of this birth of Torah that was spoken of by the prophets, the Nabis. They wanted to understand the fullness and the essence of the power of this life that was given unto them by the spoken words of the witness of this Hamashiach. And they received it with a mindset that was prepared. They had heard of these things, and they wanted to make sure that it was so in Scripture. So they searched the scroll to see if those things were so. As I said, those that do not have truth and love truth, they will always create a controversy. Now look at the next verse, what it says. It says, therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greek, and men, not a few. There were many that believed. But it says, but when the unbelieving Yahudim of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of Yahweh was preached of Shaul at Berea, they came there also, and they stirred up the people. Now that's what they did. They stirred up the people. They created a controversy. How can you be certain that those things are so? How can that be? For we have the works of the law, and the works of the law was finished in that body, Yeshua, the Lamb of Israel. He finished it all that we may have the power of the Spirit of the Torah. And he imparted to his house the Ruah of Yahweh, Ha Kodash, the Ruah of Yahweh, that it may give us the resurrection from these lives that are full of death and no life, that will bring forth the living power of his Torah. And we need that today. We need that. And it only begins when there is a readiness, when one's mind is prepared. And they began to search the scripture and see what is spoken by the mouths of those that declare the word of Yahweh, whether it is so or it is just a false reality. Whether it's based upon scripture, based upon the truth of Yahweh, or it's based upon some kind of false doctrine of illusion. And that is what the world is filled with today. The doctrines of illusions, the doctrines that cater to the flesh, the doctrines that worship the creature. The doctrines today esteem the creature. The doctrines today give great clout to the flesh and position and things and appearances. But it gives no honor at all unto Almighty Yahweh. It gives no clout unto Yahweh's disciplines that He commands of us, that He requires of us. The Torah calls us to walk in a disciplined life, that it represents the power of the kingdom of Yahweh, that it represents Him, and that we are above the fray of situations that happens in everyday life. We have a realm that we walk in, it is above the natural realm. Although we are in the natural realm, we see things in the light of Hamashiach. So we're not bound by the things and the natural situations of this realm that we're in. We have the power of that life in us. It is by the witness of Yahshua. And if we have that witness in us, that it will not destroy the Torah. It will not destroy what the Nabis have spoken unto us. But it applies that to our being, to our hearts, that the fullness of Yahweh's character will be expressed in us, that others may see it, that they may know without a shadow of a doubt. So what we have today is this religious mindset, this tyranny, this religious mindset that it is incapable of convincing. You're not going to convince the religious mindset like those ones of Thessalonica, the unbelievers. That is what they were. I know it may not say that in your text, but they were unbelievers. They did not believe the teaching of Shaul and Silas. And so they came to bring a controversy. They came to dispute what Yahweh had spoken by the mouths of these prophets. Why? Because it was a people that sought things in their systematic study of the Torah. What are you saying, Pastor Roberts? It is a generation that says, I want knowledge. I want the data. I want that knowledge. I want to say that I base things upon facts and conditions of something that I'm familiar with. That is what knowledge is in the natural sense. But the knowledge of Yahweh, the data, it is an experience. It is a skillfulness of His people. They are skillful in the word of Yah. They understand the power of the sword of the Ruah. We are a people. We are dismal. We are a sad people. And this is worldwide. The people of Yahweh, as I hear from people from different parts of the United States and other countries, it is a dismal thing, the condition of a people that say that they know the Creator. And yet we are a people that's conditioned by the creature. Because the creature dictates every aspect of our lives. Yahweh has put something in us to instruct us and take us through the paradigms, the different forms and the different avenues of life. He has given that unto us. The things of Yahweh are not valuable today. They're not important. Your minds are not even ready to receive it. These men, they received it. They had the readiness of mind. They had the conscience to hear. We don't even have the conscience to hear. We are people that's very lethargic. And the things of Yahweh do not resonate to us. We can hear every kind of controversy, can we not? Every kind of thing that is foolish. And that will not generate anything, any kind of shalom or strength at all. We have the propensity or the ability to give our ear over unto that. Scripture tells us that if we have ear, let us hear what the Ruach speaketh unto the assembly. Yahweh in Hoshea, the word was unto the house of Israel. It was not to the masses of the people. And for some reason we want to think and our questions as we oppose Yahweh in this little immature mind that we have. And we actually think we have some form of intelligentsia. And we have nothing at all. All of our intelligence in here collectively could not buy an ounce of salt. We weigh it all together, we'll not buy an ounce of salt. And the Wyman said that we use about 10. Actually, a person use about a person now, not the retards today. They use about 10% of their brains. And they say that Einstein used only between 12 to 14% of his intellectual power. And we consider him a genius. But the average person doesn't even use 10%. And that is the norm, about 10% of the brain power. And yet a man like Einstein that gave us relativity used between 12-13% of his brain. And yet most of our brain power is given over to things that will never give us any kind of strength at all. So all of Einstein's genius will not produce one grain of salt. Not one. It's not worth anything. What is of great value is the data, the knowledge of Almighty Yahweh. You did knowledge of the Most High. It's what you need. That knowledge is valuable. That knowledge you need to buy. You purchase truth. You purchase the knowledge of Yahweh. The other things will not grant anything at all. You sure there were those that stirred up the minds of those that believe. And once they began to do that, they began to question. They began to bring controversy. And so the questions will always bring the controversies. They will not bring an amicable agreement. I don't care what you say. It will never do that. It will always bring a controversy. That's why there must be knowledge of Yahweh in the land. And you cannot, regardless to who it is or whom the person is, you cannot take the knowledge of Yahweh and say that it has no value at all. You cannot omit the knowledge and the skillfulness and the experience of Yahweh because of circumstances and situations. It applies to every situation and every circumstance. So you cannot take it and abandon it because of reasoning and because of emotions. You cannot do it for that. And we are a generation that will do that because of our emotions, our feelings, our attitude, because of our likes and our dislikes. But it cannot be. So he has a controversy with us because there is no knowledge of him in the land. Not at all. Not at all. I listen to men, they have their theses and their hypotheses, but it's not a living truth that is being heard today. There are many words that are spoken. There are men that are very eloquent, and they understand Torah and dynamics of Torah, but they don't understand the living power. They reject the one that gives us strength and power and gives us hope, and that's Yahshua. And you cannot do that at all. And that is the truth. Shaul says, even after this experience, he wrote unto Timothy, Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 7. Now, I want you to understand this because there is something I want to read. There's a point that I truly want to express tonight. Hallelujah. He says in 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 7, he said that there's a generation that they are ever learning. And what a generation whereby the proliferation of knowledge, what we call knowledge today, is astounding what takes place in the world, isn't it? I was reading an article one day, and I was thinking about the old Mir spaceship. Many of you all do not know about that, but as a young lad, I recall that in the 60s. At that time, that spaceship would do 15,000 miles an hour phenomena for time and doing that era. That was phenomena. And to compare that now with the old Mir spaceship with Discovery or Atlas, those vehicles will do 145,000 miles an hour. So every hour and 15 minutes, it makes a complete revolution around the earth. It makes a complete path around the earth. Every 1 hour and 15 minutes, it makes a complete path around the earth. So it is the generation that has a plethora of knowledge, learning about things, the dynamics of physics and calculus, whereby the ability to split an atom and cause a fusion that is so great and so powerful that it has the ability to destroy all upon the face of the earth. It's a generation that is ever learning. It's a generation that understands the dynamics of creation. They'll be going beyond the solar system that we are in. They'll go beyond that. It's a generation that is always learning, but he said they're never able to come to the data, the knowledge of the truth. It's a generation, a people, that is always learning, but they're never able, they do not have the ability to come, to perceive, to understand the knowledge, the experience, the skillfulness of the truth of Yahweh. It's a generation that has the ability to master many things, but it has no ability to understand the power and the hope of the living Torah. It has none whatsoever. Ever learned? Never able to come to the data of the truth. He says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moshe, this is this generation, so do these also resist the truth. Now man resists truth because, he tells us why they resist truth. Because they are men of corrupt minds, and they are reprobate concerning the emunah, the faith of Yahweh. Their minds are corrupt. The minds are reprobate. The minds are filled with the spirit of Ichabod, whereby the Ruah of Yahweh doesn't even interact with that mind. Whereby the thought of Yahweh is not a predominant power in that mind. He said they're learning but never able to come to the data. They have no experience or skillfulness in the word of Yahweh. They have no skill when it comes to using the sword of the Ruah, which is the word of Almighty Yahweh. They have skill in those things that create a corruptness. They have the ability to utilize those things that are enmity against Yahweh, that resists Yahweh and that hates Yahweh, and the carnal attitude of man hates Yahweh. I don't care who you are. Look at who it is. And that's the truth. Unless a man is disciplined by the truth of Yahweh, he will despise him. It's a generation that is never able to come to that knowledge. And as those men resisted and they withstood Moshe, this is a generation that withstands. It withstands truth. They're not even able, he says, these also resist the truth. When one resists, they defy it. They have disdain for it. They say it's not important. It has no value at all. So he tells us that this is the mindset of Jannes and Jambres, whom Yahweh consumed because they resisted the truth of Moshe. They will not receive the Torah revelation. And this generation will not receive it. And the reason why? Because they're corrupt. And they are reprobate. They cannot receive truth. They cannot understand truth. They cannot realize the power of truth at all. No whatsoever. I believe that there shall be only a few. I believe what Scripture says. I believe what it says. I believe what is written in Scripture. Whether you believe it or not, you will have the opportunity to find out one day. And we all will. Because there is a judgment whether we believe that or not. Whether you accept that or not, there is a judgment. And it is appointed unto every man. You're going to die first. And then after the judgment. And that is a fact. And we see that throughout the nations. The horrendous things that are taking place in this nation. The things that are taking place throughout this nation. It's horrendous. It's horrifying. And when you get in the communities of the people of color, it is even more horrific and horrifying. Down there in Louisiana and New Orleans, they cannot. The young man, other day, there were three brothers that man walked down the street. He gunned them all down. Boom, boom, boom. Every last one of them. 16 to 21. Killed all three of them. And another man as well. And this is the mindset of this generation. When one rejects Yahweh, when one turns away from His truth, He gives them over to this reprobate conscience whereby there is no fear, no thought of Him, and there is no reverence of Him at all. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept that. But that is the truth. No knowledge and no desire for truth. We're learning, but we're never able to come to this profound knowledge of His truth. He tells us the reason why. These men are reprobate, they are corrupt, and they are full of their own corruption. It is a knowledge today, but it's one that is very conceited. It is a wickedness. It does not give us or cause the very truth of Yahweh to burn deep in our lives, in our living. It doesn't do that. Look at what Shaul says. You must understand that this experience that he and Shaul has had, that this was one of the catapulting things that caused him to write of the different forms of knowledge and things that had transpired as he was led by the Ruach of Yahweh. So he says to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. He said, I want to tell you something now as touching the things offered unto idols. We know, I want you to hear this now. We know that we all have data, knowledge. That's what he says. Now understand those things that are offered unto idols. And we know that we have knowledge. And he tells us this. He says this. Knowledge does what? It does what? He said knowledge puffs up. But Ahava, the love of Yahweh, it edifies. It is a knowledge of conceit. It is one that is favorable. Now that knowledge we have today, don't we? One's favorable opinion that favors them, what they perceive is right. That's the kind of knowledge. And we have a generation that is puffed up. It is not the knowledge of Yahweh's truth. And that is what this knowledge does. It puffs one up. It is a conceited. And that is what that expression is. It puffs up. One is very conceited today. It is a conceited generation. One that favors their opinion. We must hear what Torah teaches us. And when Yahweh speaks unto us, it is understandable. You can understand it. If a man seek with all of his love, he will find. If a man seek to know truth, if a man desire it, he will find the truth. As the Bereans, they received it with readiness of mind. They opened their minds to receive that. And they believed every word, and then they searched the scroll to see if those things were written as Shaul and Silas had spoken unto them. This is a generation that believes every form of corrupt knowledge. The generation that received every kind of religious knowledge that gives strength unto the creature. But it is things that bring the creature unto subjection. That is opposition to that. Everything that Yahweh says, it brings the creature down to nothing. The flesh. What religion does, it gives great strength unto the creature. Because it calls you to worship the creature instead of the Creator. It calls you to love yourself more than you love Yahweh. And He tells you to love Him first. And then you love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's what He tells us. And so religion will give this great strength and this brevity to the creature. What Yahweh speaks to us, it brings down the arrogance, the haughtiness, the pride of the creature. And show the creature that is nothing but clay, dust of the earth, and it shall be brought down. That is what Yahweh does. He shows us that no creature, and that is flesh, shall tarry in His sight. That what the creature possess, it is all as filthy rags. All the tzaddik or the righteousness of the creature has no value at all. All of the creature's wonderful works, they have no value at all. All of the creatures of righteousness, it is as a minister rag of a woman. It has no value at all. So he shows us the value of the creature, which is worthless, to esteem or to exalt the very value of whom he is. And that the creature will give all reverence and give his being over unto serving Almighty Yahweh. And that is the truth. It is one thing that caused my conscience and my mind to constantly to stay focused. And that is that I know one thing that is certain, and I say it often, that we're going to leave this world. I'm getting older. And I know I'm going to pass. Not because I'm getting older, I'm going to pass. Because today you that are young will pass too. And some of you that are young, you may pass before the older ones. But it is a real reality in this life that Yahweh, He gave us that to give us a balance. When he said to Adam, you shall surely die, he did not lie when he said that. He lost his contact with Yahweh. He lost that fellowship. And the first thing came out of his bosom was death. And that is the truth. And so in this Adamic nature, that's all that dwells there. It's death. Everything in it is death. Every single day you sense some portion or something, you're losing this or you're losing that. That's all in the Adamic nature. Do you feel like getting up every morning? How many of you all possess that esprit and you move with such effervescence when it's time to get up? How many of you all do that? Or there are times that you may move like that. But most of the times you don't move like that. It's just the form of death working in this flesh. That's all it is. You energize when you get up in the morning, or you're sluggish? Huh? Okay. Confucius. You're sluggish. So it shows us the power of, even the young ones are that way. Huh? They're not energized. They see no life or no energy. So it shows that form of death. Death is that kind of process. It works that way. That's what it does. So you don't have that energized. You got to take vitamins. You got to do this and that to give some kind of strength and some kind of purpose at all. Sure you must. Because we've lost the thing that gives us the strength of life. And that is the truth of Yahweh. Because in the Torah, when one obeyed the Torah, he found great life. He found strength. When one obeyed the truth, the Torah is the truth, brothers and sisters. You can have no doctrine based upon nothing but what Torah teaches. It has to be based upon Torah. It has to be based upon those books. Because that is what the prophets, the Nabi, spoke of. They did not come to give us a new dynamics. They came to renew the dynamics of whom Yahweh is. Yahweh never changed. So he is not something new today. He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. So the words that he spoke at the beginning, are they relevant today? When he called forth man, did he come? When he made the Shemayams, did they come into existence? When he placed the stars there, are they still there by the command of his word? When he set the boundaries of the oceans and the seas, do they go beyond the boundaries that he set for them? So his word is an everlasting word. It doesn't change. He has given us 70 intended by some reason of strength. We may live beyond that. Do men truly live beyond that? No, they do not. It is a magnificent thing when someone lives to be 100 years old. Because they write about it, they talk about it, and they want everyone to know that. When someone lives to be 90, they want everyone to know that. So it's a true fact whether you're 16 or 25 or 90. It's the fact that this life or the breath of this life shall evade you. That's the truth. That's why you need to buy the truth. And sell it not. You buy the truth, you purchase. You give all for Yah's truth. That's what you need to do. Hallelujah, Yahweh. We understand the very trials of Job. I want to read a few scriptures here. It says in Job, chapter 35, in verse 16. As Elihu, as he began to speak unto Job, because of his impatience with Almighty Yah. And this is the mind, and this is the mouth of the people today. He says in Job 35:16, he asks Job this question, therefore does Job open his mouth in vain? When one opens their mouth in vain, he multiply words without knowledge. There's a generation that is excellent in their speech, isn't it? You find great orators, those that can speak. Their words are beautiful. He said, does Job open his mouth full of emptiness and vanity? And that is what vanity is, something that is vain. It has no value. Do you speak concerning Almighty Yahweh without knowledge of the Most High? Do you say those things not knowing His capability and what He is able to do because of your circumstance and your situation? Do you speak that way because of your vanity? Do you question Yahweh because of your vainness, because your mind is vain? And because you're vain, then your words are full of emptiness. And they are words without knowledge. It is not words that gives an indication that you have an experience with Almighty Yahweh. You don't speak in a way that you have the skillfulness to use the word of Yahweh. So do you speak vain words when you hear all of this speech of vanity? And I'm quite sure that your speech is not filled with any vanity at all. Do you speak with vanity, words of vainness, because there is no knowledge? When we have no knowledge, then our words are full of vanity. When a man has knowledge of the Most High, his heart pulsates because of the mighty knowledge of the Most High. And because our hearts do not pulsate, it doesn't pump because of the excellence of His truth, then we speak with much vanity. The words are vain words. They never produce anything at all. The words that HaMashiach spoke, they were words of Ruah, and they were life. Should we speak the same words? If we speak the same words, will they produce the same thing? If we have the same Ruah as Yahshua, if we speak the same words, will they produce the same things? Do our words produce that? Do our words produce that? Yahweh says to Israel, I'll have a controversy with you. Because there is no knowledge of the truth. There is no knowledge of the truth. But ourselves, the way we think of ourselves, we think we have a great knowledge of truth. When a man has that knowledge of truth, that data, he has that experience, and it has come because he has walked with Almighty Yahweh. He has that experience with Yahweh. He has been faithful. He has been obedient. He has been consistent in the efforts and the works that Yahweh has called him to. Faithful unto. So he does it with great delight. And his heart pulsates, or it beats, because he knows of the Mighty One. And when he hears the profoundness of his utterance, it causes life to rise up in him. The words, they quicken, they make alive. Did not Yahweh say to the word, arise? Did he not say the third day he shall get up? Did he get up? Was the power of the word evident? Was it evident? Did it show us with evidence that it is so? Then what's wrong with us then? Why is that no living resurrection of the power of truth? And we have truth in us. The Torah power, the ordinance, the instructions of Yah. Why do they never rise up in us to the excellence of Yahweh? You must understand, this is how we judge ourselves to see whether we are in the truth. Whether we're the seed of Israel or whether we are a false seed. And that's just the truth. You show me another way that we examine ourselves. How do we judge ourselves? But by the word of Yah. Is there any other way that we judge ourselves? Is there any other way that we correct ourselves? How does a young man cleanse himself? How does a young man cleanse his ways? How do we cleanse ourselves, brothers and sisters? By taking heed to what? By taking heed to what? By taking heed to what? By taking heed to the word of Yahweh. You cannot cleanse yourself. You cannot perfect yourself unless you take heed to the word. Do we truly take heed to the word? What a man takes, he bears observation, he observes, he holds fast, he gives attention to, he's very attentive to. Do we really do that? Ask yourself the question. Is that truly in our life? Are we walking in falsehood and religiosity and hypocrisy? What are we truly walking in? Are we truly devoted to the cause and the purpose of Almighty God? Why? Are we devoted to the cause of the flesh, the creature? You better answer that for your own place to know where you are. Now you can be a hypocrite about it and say, well, I am. I'd rather be honest about it. And allow the judgment of Yahweh to correct me. And bring me to that place whereby I can hear Him. The generation that hearing everything but Almighty Yahweh. We hear all kinds of strange spirits, don't we? Because they are not of Yahweh. It is not based upon Scripture. It is not of Almighty Yahweh. So we multiply. This have no real value. These vain words have no real value. They're empty. They're idle. They have no substance. And if you value your conversation honestly, what does it produce at the end of the day? Many times it produced to many of you all oppression, suppression, upset, twisted in your mind, because they are vain words. They come from a corrupt mind. Cause you to mutter, to reason, to ask questions. Because the words that you are entertained by, they are vain. They are not words of knowledge. Not words of truth. It isn't. The words that are so empty, and if you put something that is empty, if you take empty calories and put in your body, will it give you any strength? It gives you no strength at all. Water is actually an empty calorie. Really nothing there, is it? But you can't just live on water drinking all day, can you? It's an empty calorie. And so vain words are empty words. They're idle words. They're no words of great measure. They're words that do not reveal truth unto us. They're words of questions, words of reasons that bring a controversy between you and Almighty Yahweh. And not only that, but you and your brother or your sister. That is what it does. We're very lethargic, very lazy, brothers and sisters. Pastor Roberts, why do you say that? Because it is one thing that if we were to enter some pagan activity of a ball game, you will see an energized people. Can I tell you, they work too. They go out, they labor, but when it comes to their passion, Yahweh is not really a true passion to us. He's not a true passion. We kid ourselves, but He has no true value to us. What He says to us doesn't excite us. What He says to us is of no real value. It's not of great value to us. Because something of great value, you hide it, you lay hold to it. So He's really not of great value to us. He's a great pretense to us. We're pretenders. And that's the way we are. And yet I can take you to a basketball game, and the whole crowd is enthusiastic about the whole game. From the beginning, from the tip-off, until the last horn sounds. And they leave out of that gymnasium or that cauldron of darkness. They're energized and they stop and they get a spirit, a beer or something like that, to energize them to go on. And then they will turn on their radios and listen to the sports talk show. And they will try to call in to give their opinion about the reason they won or the reason they lost. They will do that. But with Yahweh, His people, there is no true dedication and no love for Him. Hallelujah, Yahweh. You're just frank and straightforward. Are you not preacher? Sure I am. Sure I am. Scripture says this in Mishli, Proverbs 23. It tells you one thing to buy is the truth. Scripture says, Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth. We need to buy the instructions of Yahweh, the discipline, the chastising, the correction. And we need to understanding the ability to discern. And that discerning is that you discern what kind of spirit that has strength and power to lead and to guide you, that calls you to oppose Yahweh, to cause you to error. This is a generation that's walking in great error. It's not a generation that is infatuated with Yahweh. We're not infatuated with Yahweh. It doesn't take very much to infatuate this generation, because it's a generation that's given over unto trivial things. We love triviality. We love trivial things. The generation that loves trivial things. It's not a generation that loves concrete things. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about those that say they love Yahweh. Our time is spent in trivial pursuits. Our time is spent in daydreaming and fruitless energies into things that will never catapult into anything. Never. Never. He tells you to buy truth. Buy Torah knowledge. And don't sell the truth. When you buy the truth, the wisdom, the instruction, the understanding of Yahweh, this is the strength and the value of a man. The vain knowledge we have, the puffed up knowledge of conceit, it never brings about any kind of strength at all. Never. Never. It never calls you to lay hold on to anything of great substance at all. Period. It doesn't. When the word of Yahweh is in a man, there is a, as Jeremiah said, it's like a fire. Oh, shut up. So, because there is no word in us and no power of the truth, we don't sense the fire of the word of Yahweh. The fire will make you move, will it not? It sure will. What we have in us is a lot of vanity, a lot of vainness. Because there's one thing sure, it's either that the Nabi testified or it is the false one. When the word of Yahweh become shut up in one, it is like a fire. Shut up. And it must come out. It's one thing about a fire. It's going to burst out. It may start in here, but you're going to see it out on the outside. That is the truth. You're going to see it on the outside. You will see the flames, the windows will burst out and all of that. The fire will consume. And that is what the fire and the burning ardor of the living Torah, the truth of Yahweh, it burns out. It cleanses one. It cleanses one. That's what HaMashiach, that's what Yor Kohanan said, he that come after me, he is mightier than I am. He's going to baptize you, not only with the Ruach, but he's going to baptize you with the what? Fire. So we haven't been baptized with the fire yet, have we? He's baptizing with the living power of truth and Torah. And so we don't have that in us. And what we better do, we better go back to the drawing board and actually examine ourselves. We must examine ourselves. And it's one thing that you must do continuously. That's what an inspector does. What inspects? He or she examines all day long. That's all they do, examine. One working on the purveyor, the conveyor, and that one is an inspector. All day long they inspect. It becomes mundane. I know. When you began to inspect yourself, it does become mundane. When you began to inspect others, it doesn't become mundane, does it? And it calls you, but one that is dedicated to their job, they are persistent on their job, and nothing gets past them, nothing at all. They're persistent in their inspection. And with us, because we are not persistent, there are many things that get past Yahweh, we think. On corruption. Own wickedness, and it's wrong. And the reason why, because there's no truth. If we continue in the Torah of Yahweh, we will know the truth. That is the only way. HaMashiach, the statement he made, had to be based upon the scroll. If you continue in my words, in the word of Yah, the words that I speak, they are not my own, but they are the one that sent me. I speak as I hear. So if you continue in the Torah in truth, you shall know the truth. And what does the truth? It makes us free. Free to worship, to serve. Free to know who we are. Free to examine ourselves. And we don't do that. That's why Elihu said to Job, the words are vain, because you don't know the power of Almighty Yahweh. You're speaking really foolishly, man. You need to examine yourself. You need to examine yourself and see what you're saying is actually based upon the truth. So when a man continues in Torah, he continues in the stroll, it is one thing that he will do, he will know the truth, as the Bereans did. What he or they heard Shaul speak, they heard them speak of this living power of this Torah. They had practiced Torah. They had lived Torah. They had worked it by the works of the law, by the letter. And all of a sudden, this profound utterance of this power of the Ruah of Yahweh brings alive that which is written in the love of Israel. And it calls a man to live in the will of Almighty Yahweh, not by some letter, but by the Spirit. And they said, I want to see if this thing is actually in the scroll that they're preaching from. Believe me, they had the book. They had the scrolls. They did it with Hamashiach when he preached from Yeshaya. The scroll was open. They preached from that. They went into the synagogue, is what the scripture says now. They went into the tabernacle of the Yahudims. So they did have the Torah and the scrolls, the Tanakh. They had that there. And that is what they preached out of. It was not just some off the cuff of their mind. They preached out of the book. And those men, they were very adherent to the principles of Yah. And so what they did, they said, we're going to search this. And to make sure that it is found. I know I've read it, but not with this kind of understanding. Not with this kind of knowledge. So when a man buys the truth, you must buy the truth, because it makes you free. It makes us free. And you shall know truth. And truth liberates one. It makes one free. It sets them at liberty to worship Almighty Yahweh. The reason we don't know that, because we don't truly examine ourselves the way that Yahweh intends us to examine ourselves. Hallelujah, Yahweh. I want to read something out of Sirach, Book of Wisdom, the Apocrypha. It says this. Listen to this carefully. It says that Yahweh created man out of the earth and turned him back to it again. And that is the truth. We came from the dust of the earth and we shall be turned back to dust. You lay a man's carcass out here in the dirt. It may have a horrendous stench, but it will go back to the dust of the earth again. So he said that Yahweh made us out of the earth. That's profound. And back to the dust we shall go again. He gave to men few days. Not many days now. He gives you few days. Few days. A limited time. But granted them authority over the things upon the earth. Now, do you believe that? Could that have been read out of Mishle or Tehillim? Sure could have. He endowed them with strength like his own. He did, didn't he? He gave man an excellence of strength and wisdom that he literally spoke with him every day. And he made them in his own image. Is that true? Sure it is true.